This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. Again, that's 317-893-2853. Or check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today we're going to talk about the nervous system. You know, I feel like for as long as I've been doing this as a holistic, wellness-based chiropractor, and that's exactly what we look at in the office every single day, is to see how your nervous system is functioning, that we've never really broke down your nervous system. Symptoms that your nervous system might not be functioning, people who may need care or evaluation of that nervous system, and one of the reasons why when patients come into the office, one of the first things that we look at is your nervous system. So we're going to break down a little bit more about like what we do in the office, how the process works, but more importantly, you know, each one of you listening out there, regardless, I rarely speak in definitives. Every single person, 100% of you that are listening, have a nervous system. But a good majority of people who are listening also don't have an understanding about how the nervous system works. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, that is something that we evaluate in a different sense, right? Oftentimes, people will come in, and especially if you guys are radio listeners or have family or friends, colleagues, loved ones, people from your church group who are radio listeners, they'll come in, they say, you know, I don't really know if I want like the chiropractic component, but I definitely want to learn more about nutrition. And then they're so confused when we say, great, let's look at your nervous system. And they say, no, I'm here for nutrition. And you say, right. But, you know, we so oftentimes look at organ systems. We look at supplements. We look at different oils. We look at all of these different things. But not one doctor has evaluated your brainstem, your spinal cord, and your nerves. That's what encompasses your nervous system. That is the one system that controls and utilizes every single organ system, every single cell, in terms of nourishment, absorption. Your nervous system is the basis of life. When you damage that nervous system, and this is one that a lot of people will understand, if you damage organ systems, not only is there paralysis of the arms, the legs, sometimes both, but then there's breakdown of organs. Everyone remembers Christopher Reeves, the old Superman. When he fell, he broke C1, the very, very top bone in your neck. And not only was he a quadriplegic, quad being four, so his arms and his legs, he also had organ system failure that slowly progressed over the course of time. And that's one where his lungs started to shut down, so they gave him a respirator. His heart started to shut down, so they gave him a pacemaker. They had a colostomy bag for him to push on his bowels to make him go to the bathroom. Because most people don't have an understanding that your nervous system, that central nervous system, is what controls the function of organ systems. So we're going to break that down a little bit more in terms of, like I said, symptoms, explanation, figuring out, are you someone or know someone who needs to have their nervous system checked? But before we get into that, I've got some news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now. One of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
This is a study that comes from New York Times that talks about asthma symptoms subside following increase of omega-3 fatty acids. So omega-3 fatty acids in food may reduce symptoms of childhood asthma, while omega-6 fats may aggravate them. a study suggests. Omega-3s are found in high concentration in fish and walnuts. I'll go into some other sources as well. Omega-6 sources include corn oil and other vegetable oils. Researchers studied 135 asthmatic children aged 5 to 12 living in Baltimore inner city. At the start of the study and then again at the 3 and 6 months, the children were assessed for diet, asthma symptoms, and the use of asthma medication. At each assessment, blood samples were taken. Devices were placed in their home measuring air pollutants. The study in the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine found that the higher the omega-6 was associated with increased asthma severity, more severe effects of particular pollen pollution on asthmatic symptoms, and increased blood levels of neutrophils, a type of white blood cell, also associated with inflammation. So again, the higher the omega-6 intake, it not only increased asthma severity, it also increased the level of neutrophils, which is a type of white blood cell, your immune cell, that's associated with inflammation. Children with higher omega-3 intakes, on the other hand, had milder symptomatic reactions to any indoor pollution and lower blood levels of neutrophils. They said, we controlled for what we could. The lead author, Dr. Emily Bingham, an assistant professor of medicine of Johns Hopkins, if we find a link between diet and asthma that's affecting these kids, that's incredibly important. Now, let's break this down, because I think it's a great study. So omega-3s and omega-6s, both of them are really great fats. Your body needs both of those fats. The problem is that the ratio, 6s and 3s, are typically a 2 to 1, right? So there's twice as many 6s to 3s. And that's normally occurring in nature. Wild-caught fish, grass-fed meat, free-range chicken and eggs, that's what is normal, 2 to 1 ratios, omega-6 to omega-3s, respectively. Now, the problem, though, is that the standard American diet, our SAD diet, contains closer to a 20 to 1 ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s, respectively. So what it's saying is that the higher the omega-6s, we kind of demonize them, right? We say they're so bad, but they're really not bad. What makes omega-6 bad is when they're in excess. Instead of 2 to 1 ratio, you're a 20 to 1 ratio, then that becomes more inflammatory. And when it becomes more inflammatory, what they're finding through here is that it aggravates asthmatic symptoms. It makes it so they can't respond to air pollution as well. They have higher white blood cells, right? So you don't think of what you eat affecting you on a cellular level oftentimes, but this is showing 100% that these neutrophils, which is a marker for underlying inflammation, are worse with kids who have higher omega-6s than higher omega-3s. So then the question is, what is the solution? And so there are some great ways to be able to add in more omega-3s and decrease the amount of omega-6s. So omega-6 are typically present when they talk about corn oil, vegetable oil. Omega-6s are very present in shelf-stable foods. What does that mean? Shelf-stable. That means you can have cookies or brownies or treats that last for weeks, if not months at a time, without ever molding. So everyone has this example. Mine was as a kid, French fries, right? You find a French fry underneath the seat in your car and it looks like exactly like it did months ago. It's a shelf stable food. It doesn't mold. Yet if you were to, for example, bake bread or bake cookies or brownies, right? Most of the time, the shelf life of them before they go bad, week, maybe two max. Yet with this other food, why does it last so long? And it's because of the amount of the types of fats they put in. They're typically trans fats, so they're shelf stable. Companies really like this because imagine if you had a product and that product only stayed good for 4 weeks. So by the time you make it, you ship it, distribution, it gets on the shelves, people buy it. Then by the time you get it home, it's only a couple days. Yet if you make these foods more shelf stable, then what happens is that these companies, their revenue goes up. Because instead of, you know, you're not going to want to buy something if it's only going to be good for a couple of days. You're like, hey, well, what if I want to eat this next week? So consumers tend to find food that lasts for longer. And that's one of the problems. You know, we have to re-educate consumers is that, hey, as a consumer, the more you buy of us, the more the company is going to want to make. The secondary component is just that we need to educate parents on hey, you know, when you're increasing more of those omega-6s with these foods, corn oil, vegetable oil, you know, so it's read the ingredients. You'll be surprised how much you find when you actually break down the ingredients. But this is one where, okay, so how do you increase omega-3s? And, you know, they talked about fish, which is great. You know, my two-year-old, I don't think is necessarily the norm. He loves cod. He loves salmon. So that's easy for us to add in. You know, some other really great sources are flaxseed oil. You know, flaxseed oil is a very, very mild plant-based oil. And so I add that in anytime I can. I will put a little squirt into applesauce. I will put a squirt, if we do chia seed pudding, chia seeds, that's another really great in terms of calcium and omega-3s. So omega-3s are known as more anti-inflammatory. So again, the more that you can add in these, you know, if we add in nuts, we'll grind up, you know, a lot of coconut oil. Anytime we can add coconut oil onto things, that's high in omega-3s. So anytime you can sneak in, and sometimes it really is sneaking, especially with kids, you know, so it's a mindset shift. And if you're not there, right, because we started off my little guy with vegetables for the first several months and, you know, I pureed all of his food. Say you're not there. So you're like, hey, I'm just learning about this. I'm just getting into this more healthy lifestyle. My best suggestion, and you have kids that can, request. If it's not in the house, they can't eat it, right? That's kind of one of the easiest things. Let it run out and then don't buy it again, right? It sounds kind of crazy. But again, if it's in the house, they can't eat it and you can't eat it. And so it's just a way, because even this study more specifically was done on children. But I think about what is the difference then between adults and children, right? You know, and there obviously is some difference, but on a cellular level, we've got to think, you know, if you're an adult that suffers from asthma, you know, what kind of food are you consuming? Are these more pro-inflammatory foods that might be exacerbating those symptoms that you're having? And that's more of what we're going to talk about here coming up next. We're going to talk about symptoms in the body. Can they be related to your nervous system?
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Today, we are breaking down the nervous system. So many times people don't have an understanding of, one, what the nervous system is, two, how it functions, and then three, realizing that oftentimes symptoms that you're having are related to dysfunction of your nervous system, right? Your nervous system isn't functioning right. Oh, and I guess number four would be that we all have one. I said earlier, I rarely speak in absolutes just because, especially in the healthcare field, there are rarely times that there are absolutes. This is an absolute, right? Like, you know, you can say, everyone has two kidneys. That's not an absolute, right? I have a patient who actually found out as an adult that he was actually only born with one kidney. Not an absolute. nervous system. Nervous system is an absolute, right? It is 100% of the time. So when you talk about your nervous system, so your nervous system consists of the brain, your spinal cord, sensory organs, and all of the nerves that connect these organs with the rest of the body. So these organs are responsible for the control of the body and communication among its parts. So the brain and spinal cord are what control the central nervous system, where the information is evaluated and decisions are made. The sensory nerves and sensory organs, are the peripheral nervous system, right? And so those are ones that monitor conditions inside and outside of the body. And they send this information to the central nervous system. So it's basically brain's commuting out, things are commuting back in. So I always think it's kind of interesting. As much as technology advances, like great, amazing advances, we as individuals are hardwired. We are not wireless. We will never be wireless. Your brain has to be able to communicate those messages down through the spinal cord and out along those nerves. 73 trillion cells, 11 different organ systems are all controlled from that brain down the spinal cord, out the nerves. Now, when you talk about the spinal cord, I guess this is really important too. We think of the nervous system and damage on the nerves with the terminology of a pinched nerve, right? We all know that, ouch, a pinched nerve feels pain. I get it. But the problem is that only 7% of the nerves in the body, like that pain-based, it's a nerve fiber, go to things that feel pain. 7% of the nerves in the body go to things that feel pain, where 93 are function. You know, it's funny. I'll always ask patients in the office, you know, we'll say, what's the one system that controls every single function in the body? And they'll say, the heart. You know, and they say it really, really, they're sure of themselves. They say it with conviction behind it. And I'll say, okay, but what about this? What if you stop the heart, you take it out, and you put in a new one, and you reconnect those nerves? That's ultimately what a transplant is, right? That's what a heart transplant is. You stop functioning, you die when that brain stops communicating down and out to those organs, right? It's where oftentimes people say, oh, they're brain dead, but they can still donate their organs to another person, right? Because it's not really organs, it's central nervous system. Now, when you look, most of the time when it's like, oh, you're bone crackers, right? There's such a misconception about chiropractic. It's so funny. Such a misconception. Oh, we're bone crackers. We crack bones, right? And I'm like, So here's the thing. As much as I like bones, it's not even that I really like bones. The bones are what we look at because of the importance of what they surround. Think about this. Your most vital organ is surrounded by bone. Your brain is encased by your skull, right? So think about how thick and sturdy that bone is. Your spinal cord is surrounded by your vertebral column. And that's why we look at the bones, right? We look at the bones because of what they surround and protect. And it is the central nervous system, right? It's your spinal cord. Now, same thing, you think about your rib cage. Your rib cage is designed to protect your heart and your lungs. Your most vital organs are encased by bone. Now, when we look at the bones, in between those bones, you have discs, right? You have like disc degeneration where those bones flatten. But then on the sides in between those bones are actually where nerve roots come out. Nerve roots. So we know more so about nerve roots when it comes to talking about like a pinched nerve in your neck, right? Oh man, that pinched nerve in my neck. But you have nerves that go out all throughout. So the first nerve that actually comes out is at the base of the brainstem. So like if you were to pull on your ears, underneath your ears, you have bumps on either side, right? That's C1. That's the first vertebra in your neck. Above that is where all of your cranial nerves sit. So you have tons of cranial nerves. One of the most important is your vagus nerve. You're not like Vegas, like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? That's V-E-G-A-S. This is V-A-G-A-S. A little bit different. But it's part of your autonomic nervous system. So think autonomic, automatic. And it's just what controls everything. Heart, lungs, stomach, digestion. All of it starts at the very, very top. And that's the reference I used earlier was with Christopher Reeves, right? Christopher Reeves broke C1. He damaged C1. And when he broke C1, it damaged the spinal cord. And because of that, he lost ability to move his arms and his legs. He became a quadriplegic. So quad being four, a paraplegic is two, right? Para, two. But slowly his organ system started to shut down, right? His heart needed a respirator. His heart needed a pacemaker. His lungs needed a respirator. His bowels, he needed a colostomy bag in order to go to the bathroom. You know, and if you remember, this was way before they were injecting stem cells in knees and shoulders and joints. You know, but that was such a controversial thing, if you remember back to them doing stem cell injections into his spinal cord to try to regenerate, to have him be able to walk again. You know, but so when the average person comes in to the chiropractic office, we think headaches, neck pain, and back pain. But what you have to realize more so is that that nervous system, again, there's different components. So the nerves that come out in between the bones go into different areas of the body. And so when you're looking at the nerve root dermatome itself, there's different portions. So one is the motor portion. There's three portions: motor, autonomic, and sensory, right? So the motor portion of the nerve. The motor portion of the nerve goes to muscles. It controls muscles. So if you have weakness, if you have spasm, muscle fatigue, muscle tightness, there's a nerve that goes to it. You know, the one example that I'll often use for people, and I'm like, man, did I ever luck out being in Indianapolis? Because everyone understands this analogy. Some people know about it more than others, but there is a gentleman that goes by the name of Peyton Manning. And everyone's like, oh yeah, right? Because if you live in Indianapolis and you've never heard of Peyton Manning, you probably live under a rock, right? So, and most people don't realize is that he has had damage to the base of his neck, right? He's a football player, has been for years and years and years. But the problem is that he's had three surgical fusions to the base of his neck. And most people don't realize that. And so Peyton had written tons of articles before he retired talking about how he suffered and one of the reasons why he wasn't sure his path of continuing on with the NFL was that he had tricep atrophy, right? So the muscle in the back of your arm, that's your tricep. if you hold your arm up and you're like, bingo, and you shake your arm and there's that little jiggle underneath, that's the tricep, the bingo arm, that's the muscle underneath it. But anyways, so he had tricep atrophy, which means it was weakness. That muscle was weak. And you think about this, if he was in the NFL winning Super Bowls, it's not because he was lazy. It wasn't because he wasn't working out properly, that he didn't have the proper guidance or counseling or exercise routine or nutrition protocol, right? His problem is that the nerves in the base of the neck are the ones that go out to the tricep. So his tricep was weak and atrophied because the nerve root at the base of his neck, that nerve was damaged. So the motor nerves cause weakness. Oftentimes people will notice it in their legs too. Like they'll notice that maybe one thigh is smaller, one calf is smaller. You know, that's a nerve-related problem. But I don't have pain, right? 7%. In terms of sensory. So another portion is the sensory component, right? That's kind of a lead-in. So the sensory component of the nerve communicates with position, pain, and temperature. So posture, pain, and hot and cold. This is the small component that feels that pain. So there's so many times, right, that you'll feel fine, you feel fine, you feel fine, and then you do something. You tie your shoe, you sleep funny, you reach in the back of the car to grab something for the kids, and all of a sudden, there's a ton of pain. And you go and see your doctor and they say, hey, oh my goodness gracious, can I tell you that you have arthritis? You've got bone spurs, you have loss of disc height, osteoarthritis is what oftentimes people understand that to be. And you're like, how? I haven't had pain before. And the problem is that you can have pressure on the nerves without feeling pain, right? And that blows people's mind because you always think about a pinched nerve being a ton of pain. And that can be true, right? A pinched nerve can cause pain. But what is surprising to people is that sometimes a pinched nerve doesn't feel pain. So we have motor that goes to muscles, right? So weakness, spasm, fatigue, tightness. We have the sensory component. That's the second of the nerve root fiber. The sensory component communicates with position, pain, and temperature. And then you have the autonomic nerves. And those are what control blood vessels, organs, and glands. This is my favorite part. And it is my favorite part is because the average person is not educated about the autonomic nerves in the body. You have something called an autonomic nervous system. And what's great about this, honestly, I like when people don't believe me. Because everything that I reference is straight out of Gray's Anatomy and Physiology textbook. This is not like a chiropractic belief. This is not a Greenwood family chiropractic belief. This is not a Dr. Leanne Schluter belief. This is how the body functions. So if you want to get back to what all of your medical doctors are taught out of, it's Gray's Anatomy and Physiology. Like, this is the basis of how life works. Brainstem, spinal cord, nervous system. So it's not one where it's like, you know what? As a chiropractor, I think and I hope that these nerves go out to organs. It's not how it works. What I know, what science knows, is that there are three types of breakdowns, three parts of that central nervous system in terms of nerve. So the autonomic nerves control blood vessels, organs, and glands. And so this is really, when we come back, I want to break down what nerve roots go where. So out of your spine, what nerve roots innervate what organ systems? And if you have damage on those nerve roots, what type of symptom you might see? And we'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Talking about the nervous system. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Click the schedule and appointment link. It'll send us an email. We will touch base with you either through returning that email or through phone call to get you scheduled for an appointment in the office. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. We'll go through if there's anything else that's needed. Now, when we talk about nervous system, it's so funny. When I first started, I would do a lot of, we still do a lot of community outreach. And I will ask patients, hey, have you had your spine and nervous system checked? And people will say, I'm nervous enough already. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. I'm like, absolutely nothing. I'm nervous enough. Nervous system, right? Your nervous system. So let's recap real quick for people who are just tuning in. So your nervous system. Your nervous system is your brain, your spinal cord, the nerves, and the organs that connect to it. So anytime you hear of someone who say, there's no nerves that affect organs, you can effectively tell them that they have no idea what they're talking about, because they don't. If you have someone who tells you that, then they clearly are ignorant to the fact of how the nervous system works. And fair enough to them, that's fine. I don't expect people to know how the nervous system works. You know what I mean? This is something that I've studied for now decades. And most people have no idea. But here's the thing. If you don't know about the nervous system and how it works and how it functions, then please sit down and be quiet. That is my soapbox. Let's talk about nerves. So it's just so frustrating when people are like, that's not how it works. I'm like, oh man. Sometimes the ones that are the most ignorant and the most uninformed are the ones that speak the loudest. And unfortunately, with social media and the internet now, they have very large, faceless platforms. And it's sad. Anyways, again, I digress. So let's talk about nerves that go out to organ systems, where they go, and what are some symptoms that you could possibly see if they're not functioning correctly. Oh, this is interesting. When we talk about compression of the nerve root, right? When we talk about compression of the nerve root, they actually did a study. It was according to Sharpless at the University of Colorado. And it talks about how the dorsal nerves, dorsal are nerve roots in your middle back. So like base of your neck to, for ladies, a couple inches below your bra strap. For men, like if you were to wrap around your belly button, between those two portions, are exquisitely sensitive to compression blocks when they are compressed within a few centimeters, right? A few centimeters of their entrance to the spinal cord. Far more than had been previously supposed. Compound action potentials representing volleys of nerve impulses and myelinated fibers are reduced to about one half of their normal values by the pressure of approximately 20 milligrams of mercury in the root. Okay, so what does that mean? Right, because a lot of super big words. It basically means that 20 millimeters of compression, so just a couple centimeters of deviation to that nerve root, causes nerve impulses to reduce by about one half of their normal value. One half. A pressure of only 10 milligrams produces a significant conduction block, the potential of nerve impulse falling under 60% of its initial value in 15 minutes. With higher levels of pressure, we have observed incomplete recovery after many hours of recording. So that what they're doing through this scientific, and again, this is not a chiropractic journal. This is out of Neurophysiology of Nerve Compression and Joint Fixation, the 5th Annual Biomechanic Conference of the Spine, right? Like, this is not chiropractic. I am telling you about biomechanics, nerve compression, and joint fixation. Our goal as chiropractors, obviously, is to fix that. So if you compress a nerve, it doesn't fire as well, right? So the analogy is like if you pinch off a garden hose, right? How well is that water going to come out? It's not. So another cheesy analogy is like, how well is your garden going to grow if you don't have a proper source of water that goes to it? And the answer is it doesn't. So think about the nervous system. Your brain's trying to communicate out to these organ systems. And if your brain is trying to communicate out to these organ systems and you pinch off that nerve, how well do you think the brain is communicating out there? And the answer is it's not. So, right, how well is that organ system going to function and grow? And the answer is, it's not. So this is just how the human body works. Again, we are not a wireless system. We are hardwired. People always understand that when you talk about, like, old school, right before, like, Wi-Fi was in there. You'd have to look. Fray wires. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is anything now. You look at the wires first and foremost if something doesn't work properly. And yet, somehow, we've kind of deviated away from that. We just try to chase symptoms and mask symptoms, then figuring out, hey, is there any damage to the nerve root that goes out to the organs? Nerve root that goes out to the organs that affect that autonomic nervous system, right? Autonomic nervous system is what goes out to the organ system. Like, this is how the brain works. Brains communicate out to organs. This is simple science. It's simple science. It always just boggles my mind a little bit when we talk about the ability for the body to function. So let's break down where they go. So at the very, very top of your neck, those are all the nerves, C1 vertebra, that actually go back up to the back of the head, the pituitary gland in your brain, scalp, inner and middle ear. This is oftentimes why there is such a great success or children see improvement with ear infections, because C1, those are the nerves that go up into the inner and middle ear. So when you damage those, oftentimes you'll see headache, nervousness, insomnia, dizziness, vertigo, right? Because your ear is responsible for that. Huge for migraines. They actually, University of Chicago, Journal of Hypertension, did a research study and found a specific adjustment to C1 actually lowers your blood pressure better than two medications combined, HCTC and lisinopril. Well, because if you're damaging the nerve that goes out to that organ, how well does that organ system function, right? If you move down to kind of the middle, the base of the neck, those are the nerves in the neck, that's neck and upper arm, right? So these are the nerves, when you talk about the part of the fiber that's motor, these are the nerves that go down through the shoulder, down through the elbow, all the way down to the tips of the fingers. It is very common when someone has numbness and tingling in their hand, the first thing that we blame it on is carpal tunnel syndrome, right? We say, hey, all of the retinaculum, the tissues that are in your wrist are inflamed. So carpal tunnel syndrome, it's a mouthful, they actually cut open that surrounding tissue to help open, quote unquote, open up or free those nerves. But when you look at the success rate on carpal tunnel syndrome surgery, because we all have carpal tunnel, right? When people say, I have carpal tunnel, that's the nerves that go through your wrist. It's the tunnel that all the, it's the syndrome that causes the pain. The return to activities of daily living are the same, if not worse, than when you went through. Same thing, they'll say, hey, we're going to go into your elbow and we're going to do surgery. We're going to dig out and we're going to redirect all of these nerves. And people come in and their hands are still numb, you know, because it's coming from the neck. These nerves are the ones, when you talk about Peyton Manning, right? C7 at the very base. So if you feel kind of that bump, that's typically either C7 or T1. Your thoracic spine. Those are the ones that go out to your tricep and your bicep and your forearm. So if you damage the nerve at the base of the neck, is it going to have an effect on the muscles in your arm? The answer is yes, right? If you ever go to a doctor and they look and they'll say, you know, put your hands out, and they'll say push up, push down, rotate in, rotate out, pull your arm up, push your arm down. What they're looking for is weakness in muscle, which corresponds to an underlying nerve root, comes out of your back, right? Again, if those bones shift, it puts pressure on those nerves. Those are also the nerves at the very, very base. So the top of your back. So after that bump comes your thoracic spine. T1 through T4 go directly out to your heart. T2 through T4, T's being your thoracic spine is your middle back, go directly out to your lungs. So if you see someone who has that jutted out forward head posture, they actually consider that heart disease neck. It's a terminology, a medical terminology that they use. That forward out anterior kind of like hump that you see, they consider that heart disease neck. Why? Because the nerves in the base of the neck are the ones that go right out to your heart and your lungs. You know, it's so interesting. We did the health in the news earlier about asthma and inflammation in asthma. Do you know it is common that when a teenage girl, because scoliosis is most common in a teenage girl, if they will do a chest x-ray to look at the lungs to see if there's any like effusion, any problems, and they take the x-ray to look at more soft tissue, they'll oftentimes see in the background that there's an underlying scoliosis. And that's how oftentimes they'll find scoliosis in teenage girls, is looking for and trying to resolve symptoms of asthma. So when you're looking at that, like, why? Because typically the apex of that scoliosis, a thoracic scoliosis, is compressing the nerves that go right out to the lungs. So if you're compressing the nerves that go out to the lungs, you'll oftentimes see bronchodilation, right? They close up. Bronchodilation is oftentimes where they say, hey, here is a here's a albuterol inhaler, right? That's to dilate, to make it bigger. So when you're looking at that, why? Because those are nerves that go out. Now, again, if you're moving down a little bit more, Barrage strap line, you know, those middle thoracics, those are not only the nerves that go out to the stomach, right? Oh, numbness and tingling in the hands. We're talking about the neck, right? Numbness and tingling in the hands, shoulder pain, elbow pain, like that sign of nerve compression. That's, you need to have your nervous system evaluated, you know, and I have those people who are like, yeah, but my hands only go numb in my sleep. It's not all the time. It's not a big deal. It's only when I drive. It's not a big deal. No, your body is trying to give you a warning sign. Please, my friends, stop trying to ignore it. You need to be evaluated. Now, back to the middle part. These are the nerves that go out to your, these are your sides, ribs, the muscles of your abdominals. These are also the ones that go out to your stomach. So if you can press a nerve that goes out to the stomach, you know, why is it that people have massive amounts of acid reflux? You know, people say, well, I only have acid reflux if I have tomatoes or spicy food. Well, how come I can have a person over here who can have all the tomatoes and spicy food that they want and they never have that acid reflux? Because that person has something underlying. There's something else underlying that's causing that acid reflux. They actually looked at patients who had stomach ulcers, duodenal ulcers, and they found that the patients on average who got adjusted healed 10 days faster. They healed 10 days faster than people who took over-the-counter, normal, kind of prescribed medication. And they confirmed it with endoscopy. You're just letting the brain communicate out to the body. When we come back, we're going to move down. Have you ever experienced sciatic pain? If you're unsure, we'll talk more about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Do what it takes, whatever it takes.
Today we are talking about nervous system, and it's so important because so many symptoms, so many signs are being glossed over. Now, we talked about kind of the upper half of the body. Now we're going to talk about the lower half of the body. Now, your lower back is also known as your lumbar spine, right? Your lumbar spine. This is one where it's one of the more common places at the lower lumbar spine to see loss of disc height, disc degeneration, osteoarthritic changes, especially as we age. Now, these are the nerves in the lower back that form together, that run down, they form your sciatic nerve. Sciatic, sciatica, right? Those are the nerves that run down through the glute, through the thigh, down your knee, all the way down to your toe. Oftentimes, patients will come in and they'll say, gosh, my leg really hurts. My lower back doesn't hurt, but my leg really hurts. Remember, of that nerve fiber, 7% go to things that feel pain. So it's not uncommon for someone to not experience lower back pain, but to have this radiating pain down the leg. That is a sciatic nerve problem. This is important because there's a lot of the times I see people who say, I have a sciatic nerve problem. And I say, great, this is something that we help with. You know, we are doctors of the nervous system as a chiropractor. And they say, well, I've tried stretching and I did some muscle therapies and I tried stim and I'm like, so you're addressing the muscle, right? You're trying to do all of these things to strengthen and stretch the muscles of the lower back, but it's not a sciatic muscle problem. It is a sciatic nerve problem, right? So you have to look at the nervous system. So those are also the nerves that go out to all your digestion, reproduction, bowel and bladder, right? So your nerves go out to these organ systems. Here's the problem, is that oftentimes what causes this pressure and damage on the nerve is because the bones shift. again, as much as I love bones, I don't really love bones. I love what the bones surround. And that's really a way that we can look at it through x-rays is when we evaluate you to see how that bone is shifted, it gives us an indication. You know, oftentimes you can see the disc space. So we have the ability to see, do you have osteoarthritis? Do you have disc degeneration? Do you have bone spurs or osteophytes? This is something that needs to be addressed. You know, for the most part, people think, oh, it's just muscle. It'll go away. Let me tell you, if this was muscle or ligaments, it should resolve within a couple weeks. So if you're someone who says, I've had lower back pain on and off for 2 to 3 months, I've had neck pain, reduction of range of motion, and this has been for 2 years. If you're like, oh, I've been having migraine headaches, you know, but I've had this since I was a kid. Those bones can shift through childbirth, slips and falls. You know, I have a 2-year-old. I see how much he catches his falls with his face and not his hands, right? Shouldn't have laughed. It's not funny, but we get him adjusted. So it's one where you have to have that nervous system evaluated. And what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is very different. It's above and beyond just pain-based chiropractic. We actually look at two things. One, we want to put the bone back in place. But if you don't have someone who's retraining that muscle, then the bones are just going to shift right back out of alignment. So at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we look specifically at neuromuscular reeducation. So when you come in, if you've seen a chiropractor before, you will notice that we are different. If you haven't seen a chiropractor before, you might think that we're different, and we are. Because again, what we do manual adjustments, but they're not rotary. So we don't do any of the twisting adjustments. People really prefer the tractional adjustments that we have more than the like twisting. So then the other part is you'll see a lot of patients doing pre and post adjustment therapies. So we have a vibration plate and we have different weighting systems, and that's designed to help retrain the muscles to set the adjustment in place so that you hold it for as long as possible, right? So our goal not only is to put that bone back in the right place, but if you don't retrain the surrounding muscles to keep it there, then they're going to pull right back out of alignment, which is why oftentimes people who have seen just, you know, chiropractors, they'll say, you know, it worked for me for a while, but, you know, then it didn't work anymore, or I stopped getting better, or I got, you know, 50% better, but I still had that 50%, because if that underlying root cause of the problem is still there, that those bones have shifted, they put pressure on the nerve root, then the problem is still there. And so when you see these symptoms, our overall goal is not to mask the symptoms, but to figure out, hey, is this something that may be nervous system related that I need to have addressed and corrected? And that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can reach out on our website at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Thanks so much for tuning in. I look forward to next week, and always remember that your power is on.